Morning. Precious time that was, wasn't it? Man, just fills you up, doesn't it? Just fills you up, ready to go again. Yeah, I'm excited. Today, we're going to start a new series. And we're starting this series kind of out of a revelation in another part of Scripture that we started on, preached on last week in 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says that through the great and precious promises, we are then able to become partakers of the divine nature. What an awesome statement that is, isn't it? And so what we're going to look at is we're going to spend some time looking at these great and precious promises that God has given us, because through them we actually receive and get to share in His nature. That is incredible. Through the promises of God, we get to receive and share in His nature. His nature that kind of becomes activated in us through the promises of God, because we place our faith in them. We place our faith in what God has said He's going to do, what He said He's already done, what He's already done, what He's going to do in the future, and what He's doing right now. And so we're going to spend a few weeks looking on that, because on the promises, because if we don't know the promises of God, and if we don't meditate on the promises of God, if we don't kind of like hold steadfastly to the promises of God, then we're going to find ourselves living a defeated life without purpose. And that is exactly the opposite of what God's intentions were. He sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die for your sins and to redeem you so that you could live a life of victory and a life filled with purpose. And so it's through these promises that we're going to just be examining and looking deep on that enables us to be partakers and participants in God's nature. Amen? God makes a lot of promises in Scripture. There's so many promises of Scripture. There's promises that serve to warn us. There's promises in Scripture that serve to bring us salvation. There are promises of God that serve to equip us and to empower us and to uplift us and to strengthen us warn us and to hope and to give us hope. Some of God's promises have conditions on them. Some of God's promises are unconditional. Some of God's promises have already been fulfilled. Some of God's promises have yet to be fulfilled. Some of God's promises are being fulfilled in this very moment, right now. And each one of them enable us to become partakers. As we place our faith in them, they enable us to become sharers of God's divine nature. They enable us to participate in the very nature of God. I love that, man. I just love it. Now, we all know when it comes to promises that any of us are fall completely short when it comes to making promises. If we're honest with ourselves, we've all made promises to other people that we have not kept up on them, right? We have people in our lives we've been on the receiving end of promises not kept as well. Politicians, advertisers, friends, family workers, co-workers, people have made promises and they've fallen short on keeping those promises. But it's different with God's promises. And why? Because every promise that God makes is 100% reliable. King Solomon says in 1 Kings 8, I love this, he says that not one word has ever failed of all of God's good promises that he's given. Not a single word has ever failed of all the good promises he gives. Hebrews 6:18 tells us also that it's impossible for God to lie. It's absolutely impossible for God to lie. And so we can rest assured this morning that whenever God speaks, at any time, at any moment, in whatever context, when he makes a promise, he's going to see it through. He's going to see it through, and that he's given it to you for your benefit. He's made promises, and he's given them to you. And so I want you to just absorb that for a moment as we turn to Acts chapter 2. If you want to turn with me there, we're going to look at a promise this morning that for me is not the first promise that God makes in Scripture, but it's the first promise that really applies to you and I on this side of the cross. And it actually initiates all the other promises. Without this promise of God, all the other promises are null and void. So we're going to start with this promise this morning, found in Acts chapter 2. Just to give you a little bit of context, many of you are familiar with this chapter. God is demonstrating his power. He's demonstrating his manifestation of his Spirit coming to earth, right? And there's this incredible demonstration of what God is doing on the day of Pentecost. and they begin to speak in tongues of other languages, and the other brothers from other places around the world are saying, what is going on? How do they even know the language that I have? Why are they speaking my language, right? And there's this incredible demonstration and manifestation of God's power. And they're like, what is going on? It's got everybody's attention. What is taking place, right? There's this stirred up in the city of Jerusalem. Something is stirred up. And then Peter recognizes that he's got their full attention. And he's filled with the Spirit in that moment. And he delivers an incredible sermon where he's explaining that this is the fulfillment of the promise that God made through the prophet Joel hundreds of years ago. And everybody's just stirred up and he's got their attention. And Peter's just saying, guys, this is a fulfillment of the promise of God. When he said through the prophet Joel that he was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. That he was going to give his Spirit and impart it into his people. And he goes on to explain that it's through this man Jesus, this man that you rejected just a while ago, this man that you refused to believe that he was the Messiah, that you were allowed to be put to death. It was through him that all of this was made possible. And so you can see what was what might have been going on in the hearts and the lives of these people as they come to this realization, as Peter is filled with the Spirit and he's preaching, and his preaching is effective, and those who were listening, their hearts were convicted, their minds were convinced. Truly, Jesus was this appointed Messiah. And we pick up in verse 37, after they've heard all these things, and it says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. They realized that how they treated Jesus, and how they refused him, and how the one in whom all their hope rested was put to death. And they cried out, said, brothers, what then shall we do? What hope do we have left? And Peter said to them in verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized. Turn from your sins and follow Jesus. Turn from your old life and turn towards Jesus, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And your sins shall be forgiven, and then you will receive a gift, the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you. And this promise is for your children. And this promise is for all who are far off right now. And this promise is for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. This promise goes out to all whom God calls to himself. Remember, we said last week that to be called by God simply means, not just simply means that you're invited personally by name to get involved in his redemptive purposes. You have been called individually by name. And so this promise goes out to every single person on earth who responds to this invitation that you will receive a gift. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And not only will your sins be forgiven, as if that wasn't enough. Not only will you be given salvation, not only will your sins be omitted from your record and the blood of Jesus Christ wash you clean. And not only will you have eternal life, but you also get a gift. You also receive a gift, and not just any other gift, any ordinary gift. This gift is the gift of God. This is the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. It's a gift better than any other gift that you and I will ever receive. Why? Because it's literally the gift of God Himself. To you. It's literally God giving Himself and imparting Himself into you. That's awesome. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is directly involved in our salvation. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is the one who Scripture says that breathes life into you, that actually makes you a new believer, that actually makes you a new creation. He is the one that breathes life to your dead spirit and so makes you alive in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is directly involved in salvation. But I want you to see this morning that this gift of the Holy Spirit cannot, shall not, will not, must not be confined to just His work in our salvation. It's imperative for us to be believers and followers of Christ, to not just push the Holy Spirit to the margins of our lives as He was involved in our work of salvation, yeah, but to make Him an everyday part of our living and our being. I meant to bring my Christmas gift from last year here, and I'd left it at home. I was in a rush. Hopefully my wife will bring it in the second service. But I asked for a gift, and I asked for a gift that I thought I would enjoy, and it was a drone. I was like, oh, man, these things look so much fun. And so I asked for a few years for these things. Finally, my wife and the kids pulled together, and I got a drone. I was excited. You know, it was Christmas Day. I opened a drone. I'm like, yes, I get to experience this thing. I get to experience this gift to enjoy it, right? And so I begin, and so it was wintertime, and so obviously I'm not taking this thing out of the box right now. I was like, oh, I can't really use this right now. It's cold and snowing and wet rain and winter. You're not supposed to bring those things out in there. So what did I do with it? I put it in the closet, and so it lay dormant for many months. I didn't pull it out till August, actually, and to explore it. But when I pulled it out, I started reading the instruction manual, and I'm looking through it, and I'm getting to know this thing and how it works and how it functions. Now, this is a complex gadget, man. I was going to bring it in here and fly it in here, but I thought it would just, like, don't nosedive into one of your faces, and we can't have that in church service. So I just chose not to do that. Actually, I forgot it, But this thing is complex in its function. It's complex in the way it operates. But if you spend enough time with it, and you work with it, and you work with it, and you study it, you can study how it flies, the flight patterns, and how it works, and how this thing, you can actually master this gift. You can actually master it. But I use this comparison to show how unlike the gift of the Holy Spirit is. You see, we're not given this gift as a thing. You're given the very essence of God. That's God's promise to you. That is this incredible gift given to you. You're given the very essence of God. You're given a part of Him. And that part fills you with the fullness of Him. That's the gift that God has given to you. It's the gift of God, from God, to you so that you can enjoy Him in increasing measure for over a lifetime and throughout eternity. That's the gift that God was so longing to give to you. It's a gift of God that actually permeates your life and fills you with His nature and His goodness. If you let Him. If you allow Him. And so Peter here is dropping this incredible truth and this incredible news to these people who are just like, it's incredible revelation that the Holy Spirit is this promised, precious, beautiful gift of God that is given to you upon salvation. A gift that is involved in the revelation and revealing the deep truths and the deep riches and treasures of who God is and His purposes in your life. The one who makes known to you the mysteries of God and brings them to life in you. And there's no end to His capabilities. There's no end to His features. You cannot study the instruction manual enough to master this gift, because this gift was never intended to be fully understood. This gift was not one to be limited to our understanding. This gift is mysterious. This gift is awesome. This gift is unpredictable. It's a gift that is just constantly giving you fresh and new and bringing revelation to your life and illuminating the deep riches and treasures of God in your life so that you can partake and share in His nature in this world. He's mysterious and awesome and unpredictable. And you know, that may also be the reason why so many of us as followers of Christ, we're not living victoriously in our journey with Him. And maybe it's because He's mysterious. And maybe it's because we have this reservation and we can't fully wrap ourselves around him. We can't put him into this incredible box where this is the gift. I can see how it works. I can learn how he operates and function. I can learn the flight patterns. I can understand how he functions and I can wrap my head around it. If I spend enough time, I could master it. Right? But since we cannot contain him in a box and we're not able to master him, then we shove him to the margins of our lives. And we know that he's there. And we know the Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation. He's an integral part. But maybe we're afraid to let him have full effect in our lives because he's mysterious and unpredictable. Maybe because we know that if we give ourselves fully to his working in our lives, then man, he might do something disruptive within me. And we fear that disruptiveness will be uncomfortable for us. But I want you to understand, church, that this gift that God has given to you, though it disrupts the comfortableness and the routine and the way you like things in your spirit and in your mind and in your life, when he disrupts, he's doing it for your benefit. He's doing it for your good. He's doing it because it's through him that you get to partake and share in the great mysteries of God's divine nature. You get to share and to partake in fellowship with him. I want you to see something this morning. In Galatians chapter 3, I forgot the verse. I don't have it written down. But it says that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law so that you and I would not be cursed. Okay? Awesome statement. But then you follow it through and it says there's a reason why he did that. Christ redeemed us. He became a curse for you to redeem us so that we wouldn't have to be cursed. And then it goes on to say, so that in Christ you may receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit through faith. You see what that's saying there? First of all, Jesus became cursed for you, right? To put to death and crucified on the cross was a universal symbol that you are cursed. And so he became a cursed one so that you and I wouldn't be cursed, so that you and I might receive the Holy Spirit. What incredible intentions God had. Not just to simply save you and forgive you of your sins, which is incredible and amazing and mind-blowing in and of itself, but that was not the extent of God's intentions. It wasn't just to redeem you. It was so that you could have a part of him in your life. It's so that you could share and partake in fellowship in a divine nature each and every day of your life, so that you can enjoy a very product of God in your life, filling you every day, permeating your life in such an incredible way. That's what it says here. That's incredible. God was longing to give you a gift of the Holy Spirit. He was longing to give you himself. To give you a piece of himself. You see, God chose not only to give his life as a ransom for his creation through Jesus Christ. Not only did he give us his physical life in Jesus Christ, but he also now wants to give you his spirit, his nature, his character, the empowering of himself to live the life that Jesus ransomed for you. To give you the ability to live a life of godliness, to live of God, live a life that Jesus brought to redemption. He doesn't just leave you floating around in this life solo. Right? He comes and partners with you. That's incredible. Somebody say amen, please. God longed to give you himself. When I think about that, I'm just like, man, why? You know, this mess of a being like me, you chose to give me yourself. That was what you were longing to do. This was your purpose for me and you to receive himself so that I can enjoy you forever. And that I can share in how you are. I can share in your divine nature. But unfortunately, many people find themselves living a defeated life because they're not enjoying and pursuing the full benefits of having this gift of the Holy Spirit. There's so much to the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you've read, you just can't wrap your head around it, and you're not enjoying and pursuing the full benefits of the Holy Spirit. And so there's people live defeated lives, and you can say, well, Pastor, yeah, you know why I'm living a defeated life? It's because of I'm in horrible circumstance. I'm living a defeated life because of the circumstances that I am. Well, you know what? Every single one of us has horrible circumstance. Every single one of us goes through horrible trials and affliction. It's a product of sin and brokenness in the world that all of us are going to face horrible circumstance over and over and over again in our lives. But what God did was provide you with everything you need in this life through the Holy Spirit so that you don't have, so that you're not a living witness of a defeated life, but that you're a living witness unto Christ of what it means to live a victorious life in trials and tribulations, to be of joy and of hope. That's what God provided. Again, He doesn't just leave you solo in this life, left abandoned to tread water in an open ocean, right? Where there's just rough waters and everything just for you just treading and trying to keep your head above water. No, but the holy gift of the Holy Spirit is, number one, He's your life jacket because He gives you, rescues your life. Number two, He is the boat that carries you through the rough waters. And number three, He's also the wind that blows in your sails, leading you towards your home. That's God. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit given to you. Gives you His Spirit so that now you can have direct access to the power that you need in this life. You and I are powerless to circumstance. We're powerless to live victorious lives in circumstance. We're powerless to overcome the trials and the tribulations that come our way. We're powerless to live lives of full of joy and peace and hope in the midst of circumstance. But now you have direct access to the one who empowers you to live victoriously through them. And now you have direct access to the one who wrote Scripture. And now you have direct access to the one who gives you interpretation. He interprets and reveals Scripture to you. So as your instruction manual, how to live a life that God has called you to live. He's the author. Do not abandon the Holy Spirit when you're reading Scripture. As a matter of fact, include them. Say, Holy Spirit, what did you write here? And how did you want that to imply to my life? You're the author of this. You live in my spirit. And so bring revelation and bring interpretation that you desire from me here and now. Include them in your reading of Scripture. And you include them in your reading of Scripture, you're going to find that when you open that book and you go through the pages, it's going to be deeper and richer than any other times that you read it. Don't just open it to flip through it and say, oh yeah, I got two paragraphs in today, I'm good. No. Devote that paragraph for that one verse and say, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? How do you want that to be embedded into my life? He gives you His Spirit so that you have someone to converse with. He's the one who communicates with you. That's what Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, that He was going to be the one to communicate truth to you and to guide you. He's going to share with you everything that the Father says and everything that I say. He's going to give it directly to you. It's going to be downloaded to you. You have somebody to share your deepest hurts and anguishes with. The Holy Spirit is the one who comforts you. He's the one who shares in what you're going through. And He's the one who's there to converse with you. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Be intimate with the Holy Spirit. You have direct access to the one who promises to guide you in the way of Christ, the one who reminds you and teaches you of how to live this life. And through His Spirit, He empowers you to be a living witness for Christ. And every single one of us in this room needs that right now. Every single one of us right now needs the full empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you know what? It's actually your right and your privilege as a child of God. We just sang it. It's actually your right and your privilege as a citizen of the kingdom to seek to experience and to expect the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's your right to seek Him, to experience Him, to encounter Him, and to expect His infilling in your life. Scripture makes it very clear that being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time act, but it's something that is to be experienced over and over and over again. To be filled with the Spirit is meant to be, when I read that scripture, it's supposed to be a daily event. It has become my daily prayer. A sort of a prayer of desperation, but one of also understanding that I cannot be who God designed me to be without being filled again with His presence. Every single day I pray, God, fill me fresh with Your Spirit. Fill me fresh and anew so that I can be and live and do what You've called me to today. So that I can live a victorious life. So that I can flee from the corruption of this world. So that I can flee and resist evil. So that I can be the husband You want me to be to my wife. So that I can be the father You designed me to be to my children. So that I can be the pastor that You've called me to be in this moment. So that I can be the neighbor that You want me to be to my neighbors, even though they hit my car and I could easily get them for a lot of money. The Holy Spirit filling you each and every day with His power. Without the power of His Spirit flowing through your life, you're powerless to live the life that God has called you to, has invited you to be a part of and to share and to partake in. You're powerless against it. And what we just read this morning is that it was God's longing and His desire to give you of Himself. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in your life. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in your life. The Holy Spirit is the leading of God in your life. The Holy Spirit is the revelation of God in your life. The Holy Spirit is the fullness of God in your life. Now, isn't that a gift? Isn't that a gift? Well, as we wrap up this morning, I want to remind you of what we read just in the text that we're using this morning, where Peter says that for this promise is for you. And this promise is for your children. Amen. That's good to know, isn't it? And this promise is for all who are far off. We don't even know Him yet. And this promise is for everyone whom the Lord your God calls to Himself, that the Spirit of the living God will inhabit your life and empower you to live for Him and to be the person He created you to be. But I'm very aware of the fact that many of us close ourselves off to the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Maybe you're here today and you recognize that. It happens from time to time. It's a long journey, isn't it? But after listening to God's intentions this morning for His Holy Spirit in your life, you recognize that maybe it's time right now. Today is the day where I need to open up to Him. And you recognize that it's time once again to allow the Holy Spirit to have full access in your life, to have open access to every crevice of your heart and your mind and your being. You recognize that it's time once again to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you, to guide you, to stretch you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to teach you, and to enable you to reach your full potential in Christ. You cannot reach your full potential in Christ without the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And you're going to be frustrated, and you're going to feel defeated. But the good news is this morning, there's only one need. One step you need to take, and that's to yield, to give way, to surrender, to simply say, God, I'm going to get out of the way here, and I'm going to trust You with myself. That's as vulnerable as it gets, folks. And that's what God desired from the beginning of creation. You see the relationship He had with man. In the garden, He walked and talked, and they were one with each other. That's the vulnerability that God has longed for. And that's why he sent Jesus to buy that back, that oneness, that openness, that intimateness. Where he has full access to every crevice of your being. And you give him permission to change the way you think. To give him permission to teach you and guide you and to live a different way in life. Not to be so closed off. And I've held to this stance for 20 years and I'm not letting go of it. Well, what if that stance is the one thing that God is trying to soften through the Holy Spirit and you're not letting him? But if you did let him, man, what breakthrough there would be in your life. To yield to the Holy Spirit is saying, Holy Spirit, I trust you with me. I don't fully understand you. I don't fully comprehend all that you can, all that you desire to do with my life, but I trust you with my life. And therefore, today I'm going to yield to you, and I'm asking you to fill me afresh today with your Spirit. Can we stand together, please? We're going to pray, and then Pastor Phil, I'm just going to hand it off to you. Let's just bow our heads. Because the Holy Spirit is in this room. Right now. And the Holy Spirit is the same one that's speaking to each and every one of us. We all share and partake in the same divine nature. This is the promise that God gave to us. And so if this is your heart's prayer this morning, then just pray along with me in agreement this morning. Heavenly Father, we recognize once again your intentions for giving us the Holy Spirit, your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for inhabiting and indwelling our lives in salvation. We thank you for the new life you've given us. Holy Spirit, we recognize that in order to live the new life that you have breathed into us, that we cannot do it without a close, intimate, personal relationship with you where we give you full access to us. Where we let go of the struggle to comprehend you, the struggle to understand your fullness. But Lord, Holy Spirit, this morning we yield to your mystery. We yield to your unpredictability. We yield to your awesomeness. We yield to your desire to want to shape us and mold us and to your ability and your desire to empower us for this life, for this very day. We don't fully comprehend, we don't fully understand, but we trust you because you are God. And we trust you with our lives. So in this very moment, we reopen those places in our lives where we may have closed off to you. And we give you permission this morning, this very day, to come and do your awesome work within us. And we yield to you. And Lord, to be honest, we don't even know what it fully means to yield to you. We just know that it's what we want to do. And so we even confess that misunderstanding of what it fully means to yield. But God, we're saying that this is our heart's desire. And we ask you for your help to yield to you. Everything that we need to live in this life, in a life of godliness, to please you and to glorify you, and to live as a witness for you in this life, is enabled by your Spirit. And so we give way to you this morning. Fill us fresh right now with your Spirit, oh God. Fill us fresh. Fill every single one in this room fresh, to fill them to overflow, God, that they would pour out. They would be filled to overflow. And when they leave here, God, they pour out your Spirit in every capacity of their lives. We do this to honor you. We do this to glorify you. Lord God, we do this to enjoy you. In Jesus' name we say, amen and amen.